I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at ProMax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. On Tuesday, April 21st, ProMax gathered several local TV marketing executives for a station summit-focused virtual session, and we asked them how they and their teams have been handling the coronavirus shutdown. What kinds of marketing messages have they been sending? How have they had to shift their tone? What's next as many states move towards reopening? I moderated this session, so I'll let myself introduce everyone. I hope everybody enjoys it. I thought the panel shared great information in what turned out to be a really collegial setting. Hello, everyone. Thank you guys so much for being here. I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at ProMax. Today, I have the privilege of moderating ProMax's first ever Station Summit-focused virtual session. I am also excited to be here with everybody today because I have an incredible panel of people joining me. I'm going to introduce them in alphabetical order and then we will get going. We have Meredith Conte. She is Vice President, Consumer and Ad Sales Marketing at Tegna. We have John Kukla. He is Vice President of Creative Services for Fox's KDFW and KDFI in Dallas-Fort Worth. And we have Dan Zimmerman. He is Executive Director of Promotion and Marketing at Sinclair Broadcast Group. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hello.
All right, so before we get going, this goes against my cynical reporter upbringing, but I just want to thank all of you guys and your teams who are working so hard to make sure that important and accurate information is getting out to your local communities. On the marketing side specifically, you are also working so hard to make sure that you set the right tone and send the right messages. So we're going to talk about all of that today, so let's get started. We are about, we all know this because we're all in it. We are about 5 weeks into this pandemic and this staying at home. You guys probably at this point have your rhythms and your routines down. Meredith, I'm going to start with you, but at this point and where we're at, what does the messaging look like that you are sending to your viewers right now, especially considering the time that we're at, which is, you know, we're sort of leaving stay at home and maybe moving into something a little more open.
Yeah, well, first of all, Paige, great to see you, and thanks to ProMax for hosting this. I think it's been so incredible to see how this industry has really rallied over the last several weeks to be sort of the first responders of journalism out covering the story in our communities. You know, for us at Tegna, it's hard to characterize the messaging as a whole, but the one thing I would say is that it's very fluid. Our teams have done an amazing job keeping their eye and ear on the pulse of what's happening in the market and then changing out messaging as needed. So it's been very responsive in terms of the approach. I mean, people are getting new creative to air and to digital platforms, you know, at the turn of a dime. I mean, it's sad to say in so much respects, but you know, a crisis is what local news is made for. And the way that our teams have quickly rallied has been nothing short of miraculous and incredibly impressive.
I'm actually gonna go to Dan, just because you're more similar, Dan, in terms of the structure of Sinclair to Tegna.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now we're kind of phasing into the whole, what's the story, what's the local angle? Less about the, you know, I think we've all seen the we're all together, we're all in it together. I you know, the big musical spots that everybody ran for the first couple of weeks, including clients. And I, you know, there's a burnout on that. So now we're getting into the message of, you know, this is kind of our new normal right now. So what are the stories that we need to go out and get to tell our viewers to have them, you know, keep their families safe and keep themselves safe?
Dan, what is, in terms of the stories you need to tell your viewers for your families, for the families to stay safe, what does that look like? Is that a lot of wear a mask, wash your hands, or where are we at on that message?
I think we're beyond that because, I mean, that's been done 2 weeks straight. Now it's kind of getting into the, you know, how do you fend off some of these, you know, cabin fever we've all got, you know, people are starting to get a little itchy about wanting to get out. You know, what's the next step in everybody's, in this adventure that we're all in right now?
It's nice to call it an adventure. John, specifically in Dallas, what does that look like? What are the messages you guys are sending right now?
I think for us, and thank you for having all of us on here. I think we take our cues to, like Meredith and Dan said, we take our cues from our content and from the market. What is the market telling us? We've actually, you know, there have been some spots that we produced early on that we looked at, and they were kind of hopeful, you know, go team spots. And we actually looked at them and said, we're not ready for that yet. The market isn't ready. The market is kind of fearful. And so if we are doing our job, we are reflecting what that mood is. And one thing that we did in Dallas is that we have a tremendous consumer reporter by the name of Steve Noviello. And he took this whole thing from a consumer angle. So he did a series of informational spots on how to get your stimulus check, what to do at the grocery store, et cetera, et cetera. That ended up becoming long form content for us. We thought that the days of tune in tonight at 11 for the latest on the pandemic was gone. And so we used that time to give even more information to our viewers.
Yeah, I love that. Meredith at Tegna, also a very news focused group. Have you guys done anything like that in terms of taking your reporters or your consumer reporters and creating that kind of news you can use promo?
Yeah, I think what John says about content marketing versus promo marketing is right on the money. And certainly as the break structures have changed, we've been very adaptable to that. And really tried to figure out, what do our audiences need? Do they need a moment of mindfulness? Do they need specific tips on how to navigate stimulus packages? Do they need a mini workout? So the teams have been really creative about how to use the breaks differently and how to make sure that the breaks are not just about pushing message after message, but more about how am I giving consumers sort of short form content that has real value to their lives at this moment in time.
Let me just say they all need promos on a mini workout. I know this for sure.
We're working on it.
Dan, same question for you at Sinclair. What is that looking like in terms of a content marketing approach?
We're kind of balancing a line between the, kind of the COVID stories and you know, how to work through it. And then also, you know, getting back into the regular news game. You know, we have a number of investigative pieces that we have ongoing that we've gotten back into and you know, trying to give people also just a break from nonstop COVID coverage while still covering it.
Yeah, definitely. I have this question that is kind of relevant to this that came in yesterday from Kathy Chryselius. She is Director of Promotion and Public Affairs at WPSD Paducah, Kentucky. So she asks, we're already putting together a thank you promo with our anchors, thanking viewers for wearing masks, washing hands, keeping their distance. Is that enough? Should we still be promoting these things as long-term solutions? And I just want to add to that, how do you stay a little bit ahead of where you think you're supposed to be, which I think is kind of what you guys have all just said. We might have COVID burnout in terms of messaging. We're definitely past the we're all in this together stage. How do you know as a team it's time to move to the next thing, you know, and stay in that boundary so that you're not missing the tone, but you're also giving that information that your consumers need? And I will start with John, actually.
I think, you know, what we have seen over the past few weeks is, again, trying to be mindful of the market. And you know, in our messaging, one thing we've done recently, a couple of weeks ago, is we started to sneak sports back in. Sports is certainly a story because of all that's been affected, but we've also used this as an opportunity to interview sports stars about how they're feeling. And it's very interesting because everybody's at home, so you can get them. but, you know, we were a little, I want to say, we kind of dipped our toe in the water. Do people want to see a little bit of sports? Yes, they do. And, you know, I know for many of our markets, it's also severe weather season. So we have to balance that. You know, you can't have just a steady diet of this. People are like, hey, is it going to rain? Do I have to worry about this? So I, again, looking at the market and making sure that we do have some severe weather messaging ready to go. We do have that sort of information that's ready for viewers beyond the obvious. But it's sort of a now, you know, you're thinking about what you need now, and it's like, what are people going to be thinking 3 weeks from now? You know, we've got a lot of, like you said, a lot of cabin fever in Texas.
When you talk about sports, though, you're still not really airing games. You're talking about interviews with athletes and things like that.
Right, right. And but again, it's, I think people welcome the respite of, hey, I'm going to spend 5 minutes with Dirk Nowitzki and he's going to talk about his life and such. And people are kind of happy for a little bit of break. They know the story's still out there. But again, at some point, you need a little bit of a palate cleanser.
So same question to you, Meredith. At Tegna, what are you guys doing in terms of just trying to stay ahead of the curve a little bit?
Yeah, so a couple things. Number one, and I think one of the most important things we can do as marketers is listen, right? So whether it's social media, whether it's coming through the voicemails that are coming into the station, whether it's talking to our partners at various nonprofits and state and government agencies, you know, what is happening? What are people dealing with? What's going to be coming down the pike? So number one is listening. And then the other is, I think every strong marketing department has a calendar on an annual basis where they're looking at key events. They need to like dust that calendar off, bring it back to the fore and say, what are going to be those milestone moments in coronavirus, right? What are our leaders saying about getting back to work? When about things reopening, right? And just try to plot that out for yourselves so that you have knowledge of what the cadence is going to be, and then you can prepare for that. Better in this situation to over prepare and not use material than under prepare because the situation is so dynamic and fluid. So I would say listen and plan, but then be nimble to be able to change the plan as things evolve, because it is such a complex story with so many moving parts.
Listen, plan, prepare. That's your takeaway, everyone. You've gotten that. Dan, one follow-up also, well, a follow-up on what Meredith said, but I'm going to direct it to you, Dan, but then I'm going to come back to you, Meredith, which is, what is the interaction with public health officials and with your stations, with your groups, and how are you incorporating that into what you're doing?
You know, I mean, that's part of the story, right? So it's working with them to find out what messaging needs to go out there to keep people safe, talking with them, you know, finding out what the questions are that the public wants to ask of the public officials and asking those questions, as we're all advocates for our viewers. And that's an important thing to talk about as, you know, as we're part of the community, to go get those answers for the community. And then as far as messaging, you know, it's showing how we're getting those messaging and making sure that the people that watch us know that these are the answers that they're looking for.
And then going back to you, Meredith, are your stations, do you know what the cadence looks like in terms of that communication with public health officials?
Yeah, so we're really fortunate to own King 5 up in Seattle, which was sort of the first American epicenter of the breakout. And you know, sort of watching what that market is going through and what their cadence has been and what their officials are doing sort of serves as an interesting proxy, right? It's not an exact proxy, but it's got some indicators of what other markets might face down the path. So that's been very helpful for us. But of course, it's market by market, right? Because, you know, some states are going to believe in going back in a really robust fashion. Other states are going to believe in coming back in a more cautious fashion. So I think everyone has to be really tied in with their state officials and with the people in their editorial teams that have those contacts so that you can get a jump on what's going to be coming down the pike.
And is that true for you as well in Dallas, John?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we've been very fortunate with, especially on our morning show, is we've built relationships with the county judges, with the, you know, the mayors, to where, you know, we have them on regularly. Certainly there's always news to talk about, but once you build up that relationship, then you feel like if something's happening, you're the first person they're going to talk to. At least that's what you hope. And keeping those relationships year round has really helped us stay plugged into it.
Also, go ahead, Meredith.
Sorry, I was just going to add, you know, the other thing the state agencies and officials know about are all the various populations that are affected to this, mm-hmm. right? People say we're all in this together. One of the most important words in that phrase is the word all, because, you know, for those of us that live in really diverse communities, there are different ways that this pandemic affects different populations. And I think you know, not just working with the governor's office, but working with the different agencies that have tentacles into communities where our staffs might not normally have access is also another important part of that government media relationship.
Okay, going back to you, John. So what is the status of the way that your teams are working with your news department to produce news topicals at this point? You kind of mentioned it, but is it something that you're moving more into now that we've been in this for a while?
Well, I think a couple of things have happened. I think early on, it was a little bit of a learning curve as we all kind of bugged out and were working from home. And it really was a lot of logistics. You're used to walking down to the EP to talk about that day's story, and the EP doesn't know which producer is even working that day. But we worked through that, and it's actually worked out really well to where we're able to go back to topicals as normal. The other thing that we've been able to do is we've been able to work with them directly in, you know, going back to the kind of the content marketing. We've actually come up with some segments that are one of our anchors does called Here's to You. And it was just a way for us to get some positive stories on there. So she solicits good works being done. We've turned that around into a segment. So we've helped supply. That's the other thing. We can help supply content. That's a huge thing in this time as marketing department. We can help the product. And that just makes us all better. And we end up taking those stories and we turn them around into promos. Full circle.
And social too, right?
Yes.
Can you just talk a little bit about what that process looks like? Meaning, you know, initially it was harder to do topicals and now you've sort of worked it out. How did that process change? How did it evolve into something that you could make work? And now it's something that you're like, we've actually kind of got this down.
I think it was a combination of really it's a combination of communication. When you are so used to a certain routine in a building where everybody is and you know where everybody is, and then now all of a sudden you're all spread out 50 miles apart and you don't know who is where, and your people at home are going, I don't know who to call, or sending an email. That's the other thing. We have embraced the world of Quip Slack Zoom, or Zoom
yeah.
Quip Slack, or something like that. And that's been great. We, you know what, direct messaging and the good old fashioned phone call goes, you know, does wonders. For just, you know, you get to the right person, you have that conversation, it's quick, it's over, and we keep moving on. And so I can't say enough, and really for not only our station, but everybody in the group who has shared their best practices. Here's how we did this. Here's how we worked through this logistically. That has made it really easy for us.
So Dan, you're at Sinclair stations, which you guys have tons of stations, and they're all different formats. You've got traditional affiliates, you've got little independents, but are you finding that at your more news-focused stations that that's been the trajectory for you guys too, meaning it was harder to do topicals, but now you've been able to move back into that, and you're seeing that there's demand for that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was just figuring out the workflow. And if anything, I would say that it's forced everybody to really communicate better. You know, I think we all were in a rut. This is how we do things. And I don't think we ever realized how little we actually did talk until we're separated by distance, and makes it a lot. It seems like it's made the process a little bit easier, or not, it's not easier, but at least as far as the workflow and getting the communication, and we're all talking to each other more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've definitely got into the flow of, you know, who can, you know, maybe there's one person at the station that's the point person that's getting the footage to send out to the people at home editing. And it's a much more team and collaborative effort than ever was before. We've also kind of found, whereas, you know, maybe before we were trying to set up and do these great beauty shots, well, you know what? People want genuine. And what's more genuine than stand up on a cell phone with a one shot with the anchor with no makeup on? You know, it's tying our talent closer to make people realize that, oh, they're humans just like everybody at home, and they're all in the same situation.
Right.
So it's really helped show that through this process as well.
Dan, do you think those two lessons that you've learned, that increased communication and I forget the other lesson, but anyway, do you think, the authenticity. Do you think those two things are things you will take away or that Sinclair will take away once we sort of phase out of the pandemic?
I think most definitely. I mean, there were definitely things that we were looking at before we went into it, and it probably helped speed up to get to this point of saying, this really does resonate with viewers right now of being genuine and being real and not needing to do necessarily, you know, the million lights everywhere that a cell phone is just as good as a camera nowadays, and people are okay with it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Meredith, at Tegna, I know, and this is true for really all of you guys, but at Tegna, I know you guys have done a lot of local production that has maybe made its way up into a national or group-wide sharing situation. Can you talk about how that's happened and if you have any examples of that?
Absolutely. You know, we've had systems in place now for a while that allows kind of one market to share work to the other market. So sharing really isn't necessarily new for us, but I would say it's definitely increased due to the speed at which everybody's working. So for instance, when I talk about sort of the mindful moment, right, that was an idea that started at Tegna in Texas, and it scaled to more than a dozen markets in our group. But it's not just really within the group that I'm seeing the sharing. There's actually a nice trend that started with our station in DC, whereby stations who are competing under normal circumstances are now coming together in the best interest of the industry. So our team built public service announcements that feature morning and late news anchors from all four affiliates in that market, encouraging consumers to watch local news. And that was pretty special and unique, and not necessarily an example of sharing internally, but just the idea of what we can do better as an industry in terms of coming together during challenging times. You know, the other thing that we think about in terms of closeness is it's not just about, you know, sharing the work across markets, but it's also about keeping everybody close, keeping everybody healthy during this times. You know, it's working from home can be very isolating depending on your situation. It can be very stressful depending on your situation. So one of the things that we've done is last Friday, we hosted a Tegna marketing rally, where we had all the hundreds of marketers across the company at every level and every market together for a creative showcase, for staff shout outs, for motivational words from our leaders. And I think, you know, in terms of workers coming together more closely, that was a really good example of just the ways that we can stay together while still being apart.
But those are two things too. Do you think that something like that, where you would bring your full team together virtually, and also that idea of not being less competitive in a market, but maybe being more willing to work together, or do you think those are two things that would go past the pandemic?
I hope so. I mean, I think, look, this industry is a challenged industry. You know, we celebrate when we have like a 1 or 2 rating, which means 98% of the market hasn't watched, and we think that's a win. So I think that if there are ways in the future where we can all band together to advance the industry, I think that's our obligation to journalism at large. So I hope there will be more opportunities for sort of safe collaboration across the industry. And then in terms of the virtual meetings, yeah, I do think that's a trend that will stay, not just in our industry, but in industries at large. We're seeing a lot of event companies sort of pivot to be experts at how to host virtual meetings, virtual rallies. So I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes more of our norm.
Okay, so Dan, I'm going to go to you. And I know also that Sinclair has a big sharing system and that there's been some sharing across all of your stations. Do you think that's something that, well, A, is it something you've seen more of during this? B, do you think it's something that will stick going forward?
I mean, you know, I think we were lucky because we work pretty much set up that way to begin with. We had a pretty good footprint and a pretty good system of sharing things. You know, where we probably have picked up is, you know, trying to focus more, how can we share things internally? Like we did stuff as a group and we do stuff and spread it out. But as far as getting the spots in from our stations and then setting it out that way, you know, I think maybe that's what we're going to try to work on towards a little bit more, just to try to give everybody access to not having to necessarily always reinvent the wheel. You know, we've seen a lot of, you know, we'd see a good spot and then 2 or 3 marketers would copy that spot, and it just helped be an efficiency in getting the creative done and getting it out there quickly. And, you know, I think a lot of our stations really enjoy that kind of creative process where we were kind of sharing things as a team.
So John, sort of a reverse spin on that question, which one thing that you guys did that I loved was you did spots, these were specifically for the Big Bang Theory that you guys made and then shared with Warner Brothers, who shared with their whole network. Can you talk about how that came into place, and is it something that you've seen happen with other spots, maybe with other syndicators, or just across the Fox groups? Fox stations, sorry.
Well, I definitely think, you know, and as Meredith and Dan said, just the rise of the virtual meeting. Thank goodness we all know how to work Zoom now. that it really is great. You know, we've transitioned from conference calls to Zoom calls, and it really is nice to see people's faces. We have virtual team meetings. In the case of the Big Bang, it was just, it kind of came out of the idea of we were, as we were getting ready to leave remotely, everything was being concentrated on the news station, and we have duopolies. And it's like, well, what do we do for our duopoly station? And I think, you know, some of us were watching Big Bang just as a release. It's like, oh, watch that. And all of a sudden it was like, well, maybe it's okay to laugh during this period. So we kind of took that and we went to the downloadable clip library just to see if someone in the Big Bang Theory over 12 seasons said, wash your hands. And by golly, they do. And we kind of took it from there, created the spots, shared them with Warner Brothers just to say, what a great clip library you have. And they kind of took it and ran with it. But I have to give a shout out to our other stations. KTVU in San Francisco created a spot that was just so simple and it's just brilliance. It was just nothing but great shots of San Francisco, because as we're all sitting sheltered in place, it's like, look how beautiful it is out there, and it'll be there when you come out. And so all of our stations took it, put their own kind of spin on it. And I think we are sharing much more as a group and individually, and really kind of cheering each other on, because I think we need that. We set up a buddy system within our group of geographically located stations. So they do check-ins. So all the Texas stations check in. How you doing? I think it's just really, really important and really motivational.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, I'm almost out of time. So I'm going to ask you guys one last question, and you need to answer it sort of quickly. So this question comes from Brittany Rao. She is Director of Marketing and Community Relations at WQOW-WXOW Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And she asks, what is the next step for marketing after the virus? And should we be focusing on that right now? And I'm going to start with Dan.
I mean, that's such an individual market decision. I mean, you know, it's going to be whatever the next thing is in your market, what's your important, what's your priorities. I mean, it's hard to give a generic answer to that, because who knows what the next thing will be.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Meredith.
I would say what's next is to evaluate. How did you perform during this time? What worked for you? What didn't? What do you need to be thinking about next? I think the companies that I see doing really well during this crisis, whether it's national or local, are the companies that really know what their brand is, that really know who they are, what they stand for, and how to deliver that to the market. And if your team didn't necessarily sort of worry, if you will, it's a really good time to evaluate, you know, do we have the right sort of foundational approach to our brand? Did we send out the right messages? So I would say, a big, long debrief of how your station did during coronavirus would be a good next step, so that, God forbid, we enter into something like this again, you're going to be even more successful. I hope that's helpful, Brittany.
Meredith with the takeaways. John, you get the last word here. What's next?
Well, Brittany from Eau Claire. kind of what Meredith and Dan said, just kind of keep listening to your market, keep your ears to the ground. Your market will tell you what, where to go next. And if you are responsive and you acknowledge what's going on in your market, your and what's going on your newscast and what your news people are delivering, you will be fine.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. I have like 52 more questions, but that is all we have time for. So thank you so much, Meredith, John, and Dan for taking this time
going to be edited,
join us.
Right?
What?
This is going to be edited, right?
No. This is live through the ProMax control room. And also, thanks everybody in the chat. I kind of tried to not pay attention, but I saw that it was going off. So that's awesome. And we appreciate it. And then also, please join us Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern time for ProMax Connect's next live webinar. It's with Lydia Daly and Mary-Kate Callen from Viacom CBS. They will be talking about all the feels. It's a study about Gen Z. And so you can register now, and it's brought to you by Definition 6. Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, Paige. Bye.
Thanks, Dan.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director at ProMax. Andres Trujillo, ProMax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. ProMax is rebranded to just ProMax, so you can find us on ProMax Global on Facebook and ProMax_Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.